By Tima's Letitia Peterson, Kosan. The Ko and San communities are the oldest people in the world. It has been scientifically proven that our way of life, culture, ancient Click languages, rock paintings and engravings, as well as archaeological and DNA evidence, date back thousands of years. Our DNA belongs to the L0 Khoisan haplogroup, the world's most ancient people, dating back more than 200,000 years. It means that Khoisan communities of South and Southern Africa are the originators of mankind. We gave Africa and the world its gene pool. The Ko and San communities are the first inhabitants of South and Southern Africa. Our ancestors have been found in South and Southern Africa since the beginning of humankind. Our ancient Click languages like Izam, Ainu, Zantali, and Namigawab are scientifically dated to be more than 30,000 years old, making them the oldest and most complex languages on Earth. Yet none of our Khos and ancient Click languages are recognized as official languages in South Africa or being taught in mainstream schools. The South African coat of arms motto is in the ancient Click Elzam language. The motto reads, Ki Elelzara Elelke, meaning unity and diversity, or literally, people, different come together. This appropriation is a deliberate act of the government to erase Khoisan communities and our ancient Click languages, land, and identity. They are implementing similar strategies to those of the previous apartheid government, as well as the colonizers. Most of the Khoisan communities were, and are still, classified as colored, a classification associated with apartheid. Words have power. They create how we see ourselves, how others see us, and how history remembers us. We are the creators of the first fire and first civilizations. The term colored was imposed by the colonizers on the Khoisan communities, intentionally used as an instrument of erasure. Before Khoisan communities were forcibly given this classification, our Aboxan ancestors were called Otentu. The word was corrupted to Hottentot, which means ancients. The classification colored was a deliberate strategy by the British and apartheid governments to declare Khoisan communities as nothing and to sever us from identity, language, culture, resources, and land. There were also similar strategies done in other parts of the world to declare the original inhabitants as colored. Aboriginal Australians were labeled colored in the 1800s, as were the Cherokee Indians of Carroll County in the United States. Protests that took place on the 24th of February 2026 in Cape Town, /Hui. Gibe, where Khoisan communities gathered to protest against the Cape Town Democratic Alliance-run municipality, which wanted to sell 50 pockets of land without the Khoisan communities' consent or consulting with them. The South African Human Rights Report has highlighted that Khoisan communities face severe, ongoing human rights violations, including a lack of formal recognition, land dispossession, and poor access to basic services. A 2018 report by the South African Human Rights Commission found a decline in our Khoisan cultures and languages and called for stronger constitutional protection and government support. One specific recommendation was that the forced classification of Khoisan as colored should be stopped. As of 2026, none of the recommendations have been implemented. Our ancient rock art, engravings, and other forms of communication are carbon dated to more than 60,000 years old, indicating a complex society. They predate the hieroglyphics of Egypt, which are about 6,000 years old. Yet we are still being marginalized and victimized in South Africa, despite our resilience and determination to survive as groupings or nations with distinct cultures, languages, morals, and ways of life. The continued survival of many of our groupings and nations remains at risk, as they continue to face daily challenges and rights violations. In the San communities, there are distinct groupings like Kamani, Elzam, Halem, Khwe, Zun, Enharo, and Zu. Each group has its culture, ancient Click language, and way of life. The San used to be recognized for their hunter-gatherer lifestyle, but their hunting grounds have been encroached upon, putting their way of life in critical danger. Co-nations are mainly Nama, Demara, Griqua, Ora Korana, and Cape Co groupings, Hesekwa, Goringhe Kona, Atakwa, Inkwa, Hankumkwa. Traditionally, they have kept livestock and had trading routes. Today, most have been dispossessed and live in townships. The Ko and San groupings originate from one common ancestor. The Ko groupings were hunter-gatherers, but later acquired livestock and traded. The term Khoisan was coined by a German named Schulze in 1928. It is an artificial word used for convenience, a way for linguists and the government of South Africa to lump together distinct nations like Nama, Ora, Korana, Khwe, Zun, and Kamani. The different Kho and San groupings were not sitting ducks, as the colonizers and history writers tend to portray to advance their false narratives. They were fierce warriors who resisted for their land for more than 300 years. The Kho and San groupings were the most resistant to colonizers across Africa. They fought in more than 14 wars of resistance and numerous battles against the Portuguese, Dutch, British, and Germans. The last wars Arabaksan fought were the Namakwe German Wars in 1904-1908. The Kho San groupings were traders for thousands of years and traded with the Chinese, Phoenicians, Indians, and Egyptians thousands of years before they traded with the English, Portuguese, Dutch, and French. Chinese traders recorded trading with Kho traders in the 11th century. Map depicts the different Kho and San groupings in the 1700s in the Cape area. The Roggeveld are where the Dutch Bushman War took place. A synopsized timeline of colonizer contact. In 1448, Portuguese explorer Bartholomeus Dias circumvented Africa and arrived at the Cape, El Hui, Gibe, and found Kho Kho groupings. On March 1, 1510, the viceroy of the Portuguese state of India, Francisco de Almeida, docked at El Hui, Gibe, and wanted to negotiate with the Goringhe Kona Kho. After the negotiations failed, they attempted to steal Kho women, children, and livestock. But the Kho men retaliated using their livestock as shields and killed 150 Portuguese men, including de Almeida. At the head of the thriving Kho trading in the 1620s stood Gayab, King Kxayathumathub, also known as Achumato, a rich Kho merchant and king of the Gorihelona Kho people. The Dutch called him Harry de Strandloper, meaning Harry the Beachcomber. Ship crews came ashore and traded with Achumato, exchanging goods for fresh water, salt, fruit, root vegetables, livestock, meat, and minerals. By 1630, a British ship took Achumato to the East Indies, where he stayed for a year and learned to speak English and Dutch, along with British trading practices. In 1632, Britain returned Achumato to El Hui, Gibe, in an attempt to open communication and trade with the Kho people. Achumato traded with the Portuguese, English, Dutch, and French, and could speak their languages. He was also used as an interpreter between the Kho nations and the Dutch, French, Portuguese, and English. Between 1600 and 1652, more than 1,000 ships were recorded to have docked at El Hui, Gibe, for trade. Contrary to the colonizers' lie that the Kho were savages, our ancestors were in fact prosperous. They were rich kings, queens, traders, and merchants leading a sophisticated trade route spanning the entire continent of Africa. In 1643, Jan van Riebeek was exiled to El Hui, Gibe, as a prisoner. History was distorted to advance the colonists' narrative that van Riebeek first visited the Cape in 1652, when it already had a thriving trade operation. This means that van Riebeek already knew the layout of El Hui, Gibe, and had an advantage stemming from his previous exile there. The Dutch had a disagreement with Achumato, who wanted more money for the ships to dock at the Cape, and the Dutch refused. They then retaliated, arriving in 1652 with the military, merchants, and warship fleets under van Riebeek. The first land grants were made to settlers in the Cape in 1654, who were allowed to carve their own land. One Kho group, the Kachakwa, refused to accept the Dutch attempt to control their land and continued to graze across the East India Company-controlled gardens. Captured Kho would be held prisoner for digging for silver and catching seals. In 1658, van Riebeek took Achumato hostage, seizing his cattle and imprisoning him on Or, Hamgu Na Nuib, Robin Island, which, ironically, was also one of Achumato's trading posts. The following year, the First Kho Kone Dutch War broke out over the loss of grazing land by the Kho Kone. The war ended on April 6, 1659, with a peace agreement. The Dutch told the Kho Kone, "People have once and for all lost the land around the Cape through war and must accordingly never dwell on the idea of getting it back through peace or through war." In May 1659, Gayab de Man led the Kho Kone into resistance against the Dutch, destroying food supplies and farms of colonizers and stealing cattle and sheep. He ordered his attack in the rainy season, knowing the Dutch match could not ignite gunpowder. That December, Achimato escaped from Hamgu na Nieuwebe on a rowboat. In 1673, the Second Co-Dutch War broke out based on suspicions by the Dutch that Ganema, a chief of the Kachakwa Co, was instigating a series of attacks on European hunters and settlers. The Dutch seized 2,000 cattle and 5,000 sheep from Ganema. This picture is to illustrate what is mentioned in the article, that the first inhabitants across the world, including the Khoes and communities' genocide and erasure, was by design because the strategies implemented by the colonists to the First Nations across the world was similar and cross-cutting. The Khoes and communities was deliberately called colored to sever them from languages, identity, land, culture, etc. Similar to what happened to Cherokee Indian in 1830. Aboriginal Australians and other First Nations, who is also called colored. The first recorded deliberate extermination of the San, whereby men were killed, while women and children were captured and turned into slaves, happened in 1731, followed 8 years later by the so-called San Bushman War. From 1754-1755, war broke out between the Co and the Dutch and the Roggeveld after the Co were accused of stealing cattle. Subsequently, more wars and skirmishes occurred between the Dutch and the Co and San. There were also British battles with Chief Claus and Dawid Stuyman, Huey Thaler, Bosack, Trompeter, and Matruse on the eastern frontier, the present-day Eastern Cape. In 1868-1869, the first Corona, Ora, war broke out after Elzam-speaking San groups joined forces with the Ora to halt the advance of white settlers who were taking their land and grazing pastures. In 1877, a second Ora war broke out, which lasted until the following year around the Orange River Kai, Garib with the British. Finally, from 1904-1908, the Namaharero-German War took place mainly in present-day Namibia, spilling over to present-day South Africa as well. We have a saying in Nama, ko ig ko isu a ko, which means, a person is a person through a person. This saying can also be ko, nazib, which is similar to the Bantu people's word Ubuntu, which means humanity. These are the values and principles we were raised with as Khoisan, Nama, Hashkamani, and Ora children in present-day South Africa, Botswana, and Namibia. Other morals and values that were taught were that we are Zam Gamham, or the children of El Zam or Zam, which means lion. It teaches us to be strong, steadfast, and not give up in times of hardship. We must tell stories rooted in ancestral memory or oral history and not colonial mythology. We must also remember that our ancient Klik languages are the progenitors of all languages on Earth and are 30,000 years old. Every language originates from our languages. Therefore, it is important to Hoa speak and teach others to Hoa for generations to come so that the language does not become extinct. Language is a part of identity, culture, and heritage. The use of the mother tongue creates a solid pillar for education. Our future co-nations will know themselves not through imposed categories, but through heritage and knowledge passed down from generation to generation and, in some instances, lineage. We are not what they named us. We are who we say we are and always have been. Tima's Letitia Peterson, Khoisan, is an activist and the founder of Mubasin. She has been involved in promoting, preserving, and developing Khoisan culture, belief systems, and ancient Klik languages like Nlu and Nama since 1996 as a youth. She was fortunate to have been taught since childhood the ways of her culture, indigenous knowledge systems, and healing by her mother, Marie, who is a Geiksa. Her Nama Khoisan name, Tima S., was given to her by her maternal grandparents, Abraham, April, Gaxab, Slagab, and Christine. Peterson has been archiving and documenting folk stories and indigenous knowledge and healing systems through print, audio, and visual formats, especially the Kamani, Elzam, and Nama Khoisan nations from which she originates, since 1996. Her organization, Mubasin, is women-led and focuses on promoting, preserving, and developing Khoisan culture, healing, indigenous knowledge systems, and ancient Klik languages. Its core focus is to teach her people how to be self-sustaining and self-reliant through farming activities like producing and processing vegetables and herbs, among other activities. In 2025, Mubasin received a Keepers of the Earth Fund grant to support their work in farming, animal husbandry, and tannery in Andrusvale and Upington. Their objective is to produce sustainable vegetables and kosher and medicinal plants, as well as transfer knowledge about how to keep goats and sheep, from the elders to the youth and children, therefore ensuring that the knowledge of ancient healing, farming, housing, tannery, arts and crafts will be passed down or carried on to the next generations. Top photo. Protest that took place on the 24th of February 2026 at Cape Yaun against the auctioning of 50 pockets of Khoi San land by the Cape Town Municipality without the consent of the Khoi San communities.